FM. 88.1 Gina Alexandria. 92.5 Greenwood Shreveport. 98.9 Monroe, West Monroe. 100.1 Lake Charles. And KQJO FM. 99.3 St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi. And online at www.kaytfm.com.
Church. I'm Reverend Stanley Mathis, senior pastor of the Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, and you're listening to Paradise Ministry. Paradise Ministry is now brought to you by Robinson Mortuary. Robinson Mortuary is a family-serving family. They are located at 1850 Military Highway, Pineville, Louisiana, and their phone number is area code 318-442-7300. Join us now as we enter into a service already in progress as I preach and teach the Word of God. Adam and Eve lost the privilege of ruling over God's creative order. He did say, Adam, I'm giving you power and authority over everything that I created. Gave him the authority, the power to name everything that he made. But God's plan would not be prevented in spite of all of the obstacles that the enemy placed in man's path. God would still have a world in which his eternal kingdom would demonstrate his glory. His glory. His glory, Antioch. The difference is that now that kingdom would not be administered by man. Because now we see men who want to gain power, authority, dominion, and control. Men who think because they are president and prime ministers and king. And authoritarianism trying to rule what God has created. They want the power to control, to subdue what God made for man, all men. And yet these men call themselves strong men, call themselves mighty men, wanting to walk over everything that God has created. But God says, no matter how much power you think you have, the God that we serve has all power. And the God that we serve will not allow man to disrupt nor destroy what he has sanctioned, declared, and decreed for each and every one of us. So we see the difference is now that kingdom would not be administered by man, but by Jesus Christ, who would reconcile the fallen creation back into fellowship with God. We have shortcomings, each and every one of us, from the pulpit to the pews. Yes, none of us are perfect. Amen. But I'm reminded that we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Yes. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, perfection awaits each and every one of us, because the moment you step out of this world into the supernatural, into the spiritual, we shall all be changed to look just like our Lord, our God, and our King. For we have all been predestined to look like him in holiness and righteousness. And when you step out of this world and step into the eternal glory that God have in store, you will rejoice and sing and knowing what is manifested and already been proclaimed by God, because God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit had a significant plan. The theophany, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit manifested itself so that you and I would behold the glory of an eternal God. That's the God that we serve. Colossians 1, 19 and 20 state, for in him all the fullness of God, Yahweh, Elohim, Elohim, Jehovah, was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile, to bring us back to himself, not to man, but to himself, all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. It was at the cross. It was at the cross when I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was at the cross where Jesus was stretched wide and hung his head low. But he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's the man, that's the one who came so that each and every one of us would have a right to the tree of life. But under the Abrahamic covenant, it is further expanded through three sub-covenants. First, God promised Abraham a place. He said, go to the land that I will show you. And then he said, the second one, God promised Abraham a people. I will make of you a great nation. And thirdly, God promised Abraham a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. When a nation, when a people start serving God and acknowledge the nation of Israel, God is grafting all of us in through the blood, through a covenant that he made with Abraham. For at one time, the Gentile, which we are Gentile, were on the outside of the provision and all of the things that God had in store. But thank God for his grace and his mercy that covered and cleansed us from all unrighteousness. What we could not do for ourselves, Jesus did and accomplished for us. And when we see the fulfillment of the promise that God made through Abraham, that covenant is life-changing and life-sustaining. Your life and my life is now being sustained by the unconditional covenant that God established. There was a covenant, there was a conditional covenant where God said, if you do this, I require you to do that. But there's an unconditional covenant that God said that I don't need you to do anything because this covenant is all about me. And that covenant was extended through the completed work of his son who came, suffered, and died so that each and every one of us would have a right to the tree of life. So God is on the move. And he is doing something through his son as he has embraced us through what his son accomplished for each and every one of us. Secondly, we have to become disciples. Discipleship is a compound word. A disciple is one who follows, or one who is a student of a leader. Jesus said, to all who love him and will follow him, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross, deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. The Lord is simply saying, I need disciples. Yes, sir. My brothers and sisters, Jesus called his disciples who would travel and follow him, sharing the word of God to all who would hear. I can preach 24/7, but if you're not hearing, he who has an ear, let him hear. If you're not hearing, all I'm doing is sharing a word that is out there in eternity. It's in the atmosphere. His word is in the atmosphere. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And that word can radiate itself to those who would hear. You may never see the words that I speak, but you will feel the words that are in the atmosphere, because God is in the atmosphere. Jesus made it plain when he said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And his words penetrate each and every one of our lives, transforming us. But there's something that we need to understand. You will never be changed if you're not born again. There's something about hearing God's word, receiving God's word, letting it penetrate within your life, that your life will become new. Hey, Lord, when you've been born again, there's something different in you that is different from the world. The world will say, you are those holy Christian. But Jesus said, let them be holy, for I am holy. Let them be peacemakers, for I come to bring peace. The Lord is simply saying, I'm drawing you in this generation into a covenant with me. And that covenant is sustaining us, controlling us, helping us, redeeming us, reconciling us. But most of all, that covenant has saved us through his son, who made it all so that we will have a right to the tree of life. And we are all headed one way or the other. We are all headed to be in a body of believers that will embrace and honor him forever. So then, Pastor, how was I changed? A change had to take place, like God did with Abraham. He changed him. God was about to do something new. Behold, I make all things new. And establishing a covenant with him, God changed Abram's name to Abraham. God said in Genesis 17, verses 5 through 8, no longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I, personal pronoun, will make you exceedingly fruitful. And I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generation for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and a Lord. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are strangers, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession. I will be their God. So you're not where you want to be, but God will place in you right where he desired for you to be. So they brought us out of the western coast of Africa, where we didn't know Elohim. We didn't know him as our Lord, our God, and our King. But he brought us to a place where slavery existed. And the Lord is simply saying, though they bind you, I will free you. Though they control you, I will release you. Though they hamper you, I will lift you up. So the God that we serve is a God of reckoning. And when we serve our Lord, our God, and our King, he's moving mountains out of the way, shattering the concept of men that do not know him and embracing those that do know him. That's the God that we serve, for he's a mighty God. The covenant was all about God bringing a nation and eventually a savior through the seed of Abraham. Circumcision was a way of expressing total dependence upon God to bring forth a child. Also, we know that circumcision was symbolic of the cutting away of the sinfulness of man so that we can live for God. Sin had to be cut away, Donald. It had to be cut away so that we could worship our Lord, our God, and our King. God gave them this sign of circumcision to help them remember that God would perform his covenant with the people and that they needed to have